Good evening.
If you'd like to be turning in your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 5, we're going to look at just a few more verses in that. And we'll spend most of our time in Galatians chapter 5. As often is done, I'd like to thank the elders for this invitation to speak before you now. But I need to do a better job at listening. That's our joke with Terry. He's like, oh, yeah, we talked about you preaching tonight. And I was the one in the service this morning. They went, what? What? So hopefully what I prepared for you is good. I know it's beneficial to me. This is literally one of those lessons people go, oh, yeah, there's all these fingers pointing back at me. But it really is. So this lesson is truly as much for me as it is hopefully for you. Have you ever messed up in life? Have you ever made really, really big mistakes? Sometimes what we think is big may not be so big in the grand scheme of things. Especially when we're young, we think, oh man, this just ruined my whole career in school, and maybe not so much. Maybe as we mature, we might see that those things are not as big as we first thought. But sometimes we really do make big mistakes. The very first mistake happened way back in the Garden of Eden. And we know how Eve was deceived and how Adam was then also brought into that sin. But think about your own life. When's the first time you thought about, I just sinned? And how did that affect you? Maybe early on it didn't affect us as much as when we came to really understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us. But what about now? For those who are believers and followers in Jesus now, when you sin, what's it do to you? Does it change you? Does it change your heart? Does it make you more focused and more dedicated? Or sometimes do we kind of lose track and lose our way? That's sort of what the lesson is going to be about tonight. It's going to be talking about this struggle that we all have. The struggle of the man inside that Paul talks about wanting to do good, but the sinful flesh fighting us and pulling all the time. And it's a struggle that in the end, that thanks be to God, we will never have to fight again. We fight in this life, but we won't fight in the next. Let's start off by reading just a few verses of Galatians chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 16 and just pick up a bit where Levi left off. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and remember we mess up big? See if you fall in this list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revileries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. When you read through this list, do you see yourself in any of these categories? If not, we might want to reread this list. Have you murdered? I hope not. Have you committed adultery? Well, I hope not. And we see these big, in our eyes, in our human eyes, these big ticket items, right? But what if the smaller ones? What about causing dissensions? What about being envious? What about having selfish ambitions? Do you fall in any of those categories? I hate to say, but I have. And if you have too, keep listening. And we shall see how to fight these things in our lives. So we have the big, sort of big things, that ideas. But this battle is within all of us. It's not that someone, well, they're so much better that they really don't have this fight. this fight is for everybody that dedicates themselves to the Lord. If you don't, the battle's not so much there. But when you do dedicate yourself to the Lord, you realize that we are at war. And there's no in-between ground. We're at war with Satan. We're at war with the world. We're at war, just as importantly, to ourselves. And controlling our own selves, our own desires, and our own behaviors. It's a very, very serious and real battle. And there are casualties. How many here have known someone that has started the walk with the Lord and turned away? Does it break your heart? It's horrible. There are real casualties in this battle. But, and that's the end of this lesson, but I'll give it to you now. But, that's not the end of us. For those that pursue and continue on, we will win this war. In fact, the battle, the result has already been determined as long as we keep on doing our job. So, as our scripture explains to us tonight, and what we want to look at, as long as Christians continue to fight, we can't overcome this fleshly issue, all these sins and walking according to the flesh by walking in the Spirit. And we'll talk about just several things that are along that line. The flesh and the Spirit. There is no compromise between the two. They're at enmity with each other. They're at constant war with each other. It's not yin and yang, so to speak. They are completely opposed to each other. One wins and the other loses. To fulfill the lust of the flesh, as we see in, we mentioned verse 19 and 20, so if we give in to these things, we lose the goal with which we started for, and that is to be with our Lord in heaven. If we are Christ, we have crucified the flesh. What does that really mean? What is Apostle Paul trying to tell us? It means you made a commitment. You made a promise. You took a vow before the Lord that you were going to fight and you were going to be on His side. Are you living to that commitment? So living in the Spirit, though, also means walking. It means it takes effort. When the Scripture talks about walking, of course, it's not just for taking a little stroll. It means you're putting forth effort and you're moving forward. You're fighting resistance. You're continuing along a path of effort. And, of course, in chapter 6 and verse 7 through 8, it talks about we talk about this verse often, but we reap what we sow. So if we sow to the Spirit, we reap to the Spirit. And if we sow to the flesh, we simply reap to the flesh. So how do we win this war? How do we do it? Well, there's some basic points. To win one, we must have to understand the war, the conflict that they're in. Two, we must understand the enemy and the consequences of losing. Three, the victory is found in having a right attitude. And that is not so easy, is it? Sometimes you think, well, I have the right attitude, but life's stress, life's problems can overcome us and get even a Christian with the great hope of eternal life, Christians become depressed. And it's a matter of overcoming that and fighting to have the right attitude before the Lord and understanding why and whom we serve. And the victory comes by walking, by effort, by working in the Spirit. So the first point I'd like us to understand is, how do we win? Well, we do none of this on our own. Witness the strength of the enemy. Now, Benjamin Franklin was a plagiarist. And I'm going to tell you why he's a plagiarist. His quote at the bottom is, by failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Yeah, well, long before that, Jesus covered the same subject. In Luke chapter 14, verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king did not sit down and first consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him, who comes against him with 20,000? What's Jesus simply saying? You have to prepare. You have to plan. You don't just walk in and say, yes, I obeyed the gospel, yes, I'm a Christian, and then do nothing from then on. A Christian's life is all about planning and looking ahead and following the great plan that God has given us. We do not win this fight alone. We have to understand that this battle is for life. It's not anything short term. It's not like, okay, I was really sinning. I gave my life to the Lord. That's all behind me. Nothing else is going to beset me from now on. we all know as Christians that have been Christians for any time, that's simply not the case. That's really about the time Satan starts throwing his A game at you. And when it really gets difficult. All right? And so that's the thing. We have to understand that it's this flesh, it's not going to leave us alone. So if we dedicate ourselves to walking in the Spirit, the flesh will not leave us alone. Satan will not leave you alone. And people describe their spiritual life as a roller coaster, or going up and down like waves, back and forth. Or when I'm fighting really high, and then I lost that one, and I fight really high. Well, there is some cycles to a Christian's life. But when we dedicate ourselves to the Lord, those bumps get smoother, we climb, we continue upward. We're not just going up and falling off a cliff and playing this game. We have hope, we know that there is an end game besides just this bumpy ride. There's going to be many battles. How many here as Christians have dealt with things that you never thought you would in your life? Right? I have dealt with things in my life that I thought I would never deal with in my life. Some things, and I can't mention she who should not be named in this lesson, so I won't. But things that she had to deal with in early life that now I had to deal with the same thing. And I couldn't imagine it being raised in a family amongst the brethren and in the church. But it happens. There are some amazingly difficult things that people walk through. Sometimes it's amongst family, sometimes it's amongst friends. Sometimes just the events of going through close relatives and death and pain and separation can really stress and really put strain on your relationship and cause you to feel like you're riding this roller coaster. There can be many, many battles. And that is just something we have to accept as we are on this path. But every one of these battles are winnable unless we give in. Because if we don't, we have God's help and we can overcome every one of them. But if we give in, well then, that's not always the case. In the end, we have to remember as servants of the Lord that the flesh will lose, and have confidence in that. And it should strengthen us that the flesh always loses. Satan has already lost. He's just trying to drag down a few with him. But God will win in the end. And we're on his side. That means we win as well. So while the life road can be many winding paths and can be difficult at times, and we may have to deal with extremely difficult times, whether it's in family or with our own self, whether it be sin or physical struggles or just other things like that, the victory is already won. Think about it this. They have to understand the consequences and understand the enemy. The enemy of the works of the flesh we identified in Galatians there, that we have immorality, idolatry, violations of the law of love, sins of excess, things like that. But also remember that we have a direct adversary, and we don't think about it often. We think about sin. We sin and think, well, Satan put me in that situation, or Satan might have helped cause that. But he is directly opposed to us because he is opposed to God. And so we have a direct and indirect battle. We have the battle of our own soul being allured to sin, and we have the battle of an adversary that they're trying to help us pull away from the Lord. But of course, we mentioned too, the consequences are not small. They're huge. And I think we all as Christians understand this, that once we start down the path, there's no giving up. But the consequence is the same of failure whether we started down the path or not. And that's the thing that should pull in every one of our hearts, that we don't give up and we don't stop seeking those who haven't started yet in this. We cannot understand the war without understanding the consequences. Victory, though, can be had in having the right attitude. Now, that sounds easy, right? But there's many people that fall into this trap, and you hear it in the world all the time, that, you know, that's just the way I am, or that's my weakness, or that's my burden to bear, or my cross to bear. And you'll hear words and phrases like that, which in and of themselves, well, in a simplistic sense, it sounds like there might be some logic behind that. But we understand that God does not give us anything which we cannot overcome. And so having this attitude of just, I just can't overcome this problem, means you've already been defeated before you've started. We have to understand that with God we can do anything, and we are not just too weak. Christians are to be optimistic. Take a look in Romans chapter 6 with you, if you would, with me, please. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 6, and let's look at verses 3 through 8. Romans chapter 6 says, "Or do you not know, as many of you were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? And therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing that our old man was crucified, and the body of sin might be done away with, that we should be no longer slaves to sin." You see the key part of that, at least the key part of this in relation to what we're talking about? That we should be no longer slaves to sin. We don't have to be under control of any of these sins. We were crucified. Our old man was done away with. When we were washed in our sins with baptism, we have dedicated ourselves. And what we have, the old weight and the old sins, which unfortunately we don't remember, is really a lack of faith. God has washed us away. And we have this new life and this new man that we are no longer, therefore, slaves of sin. So, living in the Spirit, we have to do something about it. We have to walk in the Spirit. So let's talk just a few minutes about walking in the Spirit. And as we do, turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read a few verses from Romans chapter 8 as well. So what does walking mean? Well, I mentioned it's something, it takes some effort. But really in the context of what we're doing, it's a struggle. It's an effort. But it's how we conduct ourselves in this life. It's how we act. It's how we think. It's what we say. And it's what we do. It's walking through life, progressing through life. It's what we do. It's how we conduct ourselves. So in the Spirit, we're supposed to conduct ourselves according to the lead of the Spirit. And let's look in here in Romans chapter 8, and we'll read verses 1 through 13. "There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Stop there. Does that give you hope? There are so many Christians that don't believe this verse. They stop and they start doubting and start remembering their sins. Have confidence in what God promises. Here he promises that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now the key is to make sure that we are in Christ Jesus. But we do not walk according to the flesh, and we walk according to the Spirit. And when we do that, we should have great confidence and great hope. Verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Again, this great hope that we are no longer controlled and yanked around, and it's not just the way I am, that we can be better than the people we were before coming to the Lord. Verse 3, "What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Did you catch this part in Dwayne's lesson this morning? I did. What's your mind set on? Where do you spend thinking? What do you spend your time, effort with? Do you spend it really focusing on the things of the Spirit? Or do we focus on the things of the flesh? They will dominate our hearts and our minds and our actions. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can it be." If we focus our life on those things that we reference, if we don't focus and try to work and walk in the Spirit, we're at enmity with God. It's not a term we use a lot. But would you want to be at war with God? An enemy of God? Well, of course we don't want to, because it means immediate defeat. But that's what he's saying we would be if we focus our minds in the carnal type of activities and thinking. Verse 8, So then, for those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is, to me, is one of the most hopeful, positive scriptures we can read. We just have to focus that we are walking according to the flesh, that we're striving, walking according to the Spirit. Excuse me. We have to focus that we are not walking according to the flesh, but we are walking according to the Spirit. We have to understand whom we're owned by, that we have a new master. It's no longer the flesh. It's no longer Satan. It's God, and it's His Son, Jesus. And that's who we serve, and we strive each day to get better. We walk. It doesn't mean we don't stumble. We get up, and we walk, and we keep down this road. We are not to be controlled by the sinful nature. And again, the most comforting thing in this is that it's not because anything I had to do. Christ did that for me. I just have to do my part and follow with Him. I have to do my effort, my part, my work in walking, and God does the rest for my stumbles. We are not alone. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, I'd suggest that another step we have to do is be very serious about it. And this, again, is something I've struggled with over the years. Not that I'm ever, not serious about serving God, but I blame my mother. So this is a little bit of psychotherapy. I can tell you this, and you can play her the tape. She used to get me up in the middle of the night when I was and just play because I was so much fun. Well, until my dad found out of this. But there's years of this, just getting up and having fun. So all going through and growing up, yeah, I'm the guy who just wouldn't have fun. And there's a point, though, that when you think about spiritual things, we have to mature. We have to have spiritually focused effort, a serious effort. Not just, I go to church on Sunday, and I'm done. Or, hey, I went to Bible class, that's an extra check. Or, I was on Wednesday night, that's a third check. And look, we all know Christians, the Christian life is not a checklist. It takes serious effort. It takes constant daily focus. I won't ask you to raise hands, but think about this. How many of you are focused on your daily Bible readings? The elders have given us Bible readings for each week, right? But we can go beyond that, obviously, and we should be doing our own personal studies as well. I tell you how I do this, because I let, and this is my own admission of fault, so my wife will just say amen to this when she's done. But I get so focused at work because it's so intense, and the job I have is just a lot of pressure, that I have decompression time. And it starts when I wake up and I'm getting ready to go to work. I know what's coming. And so I'm already turning the gears and thinking about that. And then when you're coming home, wives, how many have husbands that come home really wound up after work? Yeah, or husbands, wives that really come home after work all wound up? Yeah, that's me. And so lately, is what I've been doing and trying to focus on our daily Bible readings as well, is I just listen to them in the truck as I drive home. And it takes me, because I'm winding down. I may have to listen to it 3 or 4 times, because sometimes your mind wants to go off. But I try to focus. I try to put in serious effort beyond normal study. I try to focus, and there's one other thing you can do. But it's a constant work. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, it reads, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, but now as not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure." I get a couple things out of this. Paul is saying, in a way, he's commending them, that they were really living right. But now he's not there. Keep it up. Right? And it's kind of like those who have had spiritual giants or spiritual people in your lives that are no longer with us. They're the ones still saying, keep it up. And that could be parents. It could be family, grandparents, other people just really close to us. There are spiritual giants among us saying, keep it up. As described in Hebrews as the cloud of witnesses. There are people that are wanting us to continue and keep it up. And I think that's maybe what Paul is implying here, some of this as well. But then we have this idea of work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It takes serious effort. It's not something that's to be lighthearted about and say, well, I sort of pleased God. I kind of did these checklist things. It takes serious effort. We should be digging into our own hearts and digging into our own actions and finding where we fail and try to get better. It's not instant. It takes serious effort. Sometimes it's quite painful to change things that we have in our life that maybe are not so easy to get rid of. And we're a constant work. But we're not alone. So how else are we to walk in the Spirit? Well, we're to walk in revealed truth. And we'll see that here in these verses here in John. But it says, John 14, all of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said. Again, this is one of these verses that's extremely comforting to me. I don't have to worry about, I don't know enough. I can't find out the answers. Because Jesus has said that He will have the Helper will guide us into everything that we need. We can be confident in that. So when we're struggling, when we're not sure what to do, the answer is in the truth. If we can't find it, we have a blessing in the resources we have in this congregation. Of great Bible students, of great Bible teachers, of great leaders in our congregation, just ask the questions and we can get the answers. The truth is there. It's guaranteed to be there by the Lord. There are great truths in there about being joyful, about having hope and peace and how to be long-suffering and how to be kind and how to be a better Christian, how to be more faithful, and how to practice and how to improve our self-control. It's there. We're not left alone. We simply have to read. We have to understand. We have to meditate on God's Word. Now remember this part that it's a serious thing? It takes serious effort. And it's not just something we lightly read and we get, you know, one verse and we think that's enough for the day. And there are a lot of trends amongst the denominational world and sometimes amongst the brethren that Christians will get little notes and they'll say, well, this is a single part of a verse and they stop there for the day. It's not serious Bible effort. They can be helpful, but it's not serious Bible effort. We have to work and meditate and understand God's Word in order to become more pleasing in His sight. Well, walking and having victory in the Spirit also means that we do not listen to ourselves. And this is one of these verses that sort of burned in my mind that you'll never forget one of these things. But it talks about in Jeremiah that the way of man is not within himself. We cannot guide our own lives. We cannot direct our own steps. We have to rely on God. We have to rely that in this walk, we don't make up the way. We don't make up the road. That's been defined. We just have to follow what He says. And we have to listen to God. The psalmist says, direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Again, the guidance, the understanding that the only way we see, the only way we see the road, the only way we see the path, the only way we see how to keep ourselves right and in that way is by listening to God's word and following it. Victory comes then by setting our minds on things of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, we read this part of it, but he talks about, for those who live according to the flesh have set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There's one key word there, and that's those have set. Set. They made their choice. They made their direction. Do we make our direction on the right things? Do we set our minds on things above? Do we focus on things that are really going to help us? Or do we get lost in this world's things and this world's activities, which has happened to me all too often in life? You get busy with many things, and you're not setting your mind above. Well, we also have to remember to pray. And hopefully this, again, is an obvious point to those that are Christians. But I think prayer is often the first place that we fall off when we're having struggles. That when we really get overwhelmed, we get into our own little pity party, our own little world, and sometimes we forget to go to the very one that can help. And that is prayer. But we shouldn't just pray in good and bad times. We should also pray in good times. And there's been so many good lessons about this given here and amongst other places that I've been fortunate enough to attend. That prayer is to build our strength, build our communication with God, to keep us focused and to keep us thankful and asking for the things that we need. It's there to give us the strength and the boost we need to keep down this path. It needs to be, though, if prayer can't just be, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this food. And I'm having a little struggle here. Lord, please help me. It needs to be very focused. It needs to be very fervent. It needs to be a special, dedicated time. You need to be meaningful with your prayer and remember who you're addressing. There are a lot of prayers I heard in the world, and you'll see this especially a lot if you watch NASCAR of any things. And NASCAR fan. My wife used to be a NASCAR fan. I still am. And you'll see some prayers that are okay, but you'll see a lot of them that are just, basically making the crowd feel good. Right? When we pray, do you think about that you're addressing the creator of the universe, the maker of all things? That think about when you pray what it will be like in the last day of judgment. That you will be the one on your knees and you can't get low enough in homage to the creator of all. Do you put him in that position? Do you put his son in that position? And hold him up with the right reverence and awe that we should. That's who we're addressing to. That's who we're addressing as our Father. And the right attitude and making it meaningful and fervent and focused is really key. Would we go days and weeks without talking to our spouse? Well, on occasion maybe. But would we go days and weeks without talking to our parents? Would we go days and weeks without talking to the closest friends we have? Then why do we do that with God? And I hate to say that I've been guilty of that too. And that's why I keep saying all these fingers, they're pointing back at me. I try not to make that the case, and I pray that you do too. This is a key to keeping us strong. And when we're not praying, we are getting weaker. We are not getting stronger. So victory comes by this idea of walking. We must crucify the flesh. There's not an option there. It tells us we must crucify the flesh. Again, an action. This idea of walking, but this is an action. And we think of how brutal crucifixion was to our Lord. That's what we're supposed to do to our flesh. Get rid of those sins. At all costs, drive them out of our lives. You have to keep trying also when we fail. So this idea of we must crucify the flesh, we must continue to walk. We're going to fail. We know we're going to fail. But that doesn't mean we stop. We keep fighting back, and we do get better, and we do get closer to God and get stronger. So we have to crucify the flesh, and we have to continue the battle. So as we think about this warfare, everybody in this earth has this warfare, but some have already lost. They haven't started down the road that we, hopefully here as Christians, have, in that now we are fighting this battle within ourselves. But we're not alone. We have this battle between the spirit and between the flesh. Right? Every one of us has it. And I hope we all take it very seriously and we focus ourselves on that. But I also want us to think about one other thing. And I mentioned this before, and this is just one of the common verses that's used, but it's so powerful in that we do not do this alone. And thanks be to God, because I would have failed and lost a long time ago without the Lord's help. But in Galatians 5 just talks about, he says, in verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? It's a simple thing. It's a simple verse anyway. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't lose to the flesh. But Isaiah words it slightly differently, and I want you to think about the help that we get with this. But they shall wait upon the Lord, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So when we think life is getting really difficult, and life can get very difficult, remember this verse. God will give us the strength to get through anything we need to do. Even if it means we lose our own battle, maybe with our own health or other issues, and maybe if we have such pain that we have family members that turn away,
we don't give up.
God gives us strength, and we continue on, and we try to help them back. We have to remember as Christians, the battle is won. God will strengthen us. God will lift us up and gives us this strength as an eagle has. What a majestic and beautiful image that this has. That God will give us the strength. We'll run. We'll not get weary. And we'll walk and we'll not get faint. We can do it, but only with our Lord's help. Well, that's the thoughts I had for us this evening. That this idea that just the way I am, it doesn't fly with God. And it doesn't fly as a Christian. That we can do better. We all have this battle. And hopefully we all objectively look at our own souls in doing this. So, are you ready? Are you struggling in this fight? Remember that we have no guarantee when the Lord will come back. But we do have one other guarantee, that the Lord will come back. We don't know when, but we know He will. And we need to be ready. We need to be on that walk. We need to be fighting and striving to be pleasing to Him. I can tell you that I've not been completely as strong as I need to be in this. And I pray that I get stronger every day, that I keep fighting and not give up. And I pray the same for each one of us. Because we all have the same struggle. And we all have to get better. And we all have to continue to try to be pleasing to God. If you've not started down that path, the battle's lost. But it's not too late. You can become a Christian. You can follow the Lord. You can have your sins walked away. And you can have the hope of eternal life when you just continue walking in the Spirit. As Christians do. Maybe you've been on that path and you've stumbled and fallen off. Well, at this time, we give you the chance to come back. The members of the church can help. We can reach out and hold your hand and give you the help and the encouragement that you need to fight and to get back on that path. If you're subject, please come as we stand and sing.
While through His word He calls you, come, sinner, come. While we are praying for you, come, sinner, come. Now is the time to own Him, come, sinner, come. Now is the time to know Him, come, sinner, come. Are you too heavy laden? Come, sinner, come. Jesus will bear your burden. Come, sinner, come. Jesus will not deceive you. Come, sinner, come. Jesus can now redeem you. Come, sinner, come. Oh, here is tender pleading. Come, sinner, come. Come and receive your blessing. Come, sinner, come. While Jesus now invites you, come, sinner, come. While we are praying for you, come, sinner, come.
Please be seated.